Welcome to the study on Thessalonians. I'm Jamie, the pastor of Anchor Bible Church in Lincoln City. Well, today actually we have to look at some background information on 1 Thessalonians, and so we're not actually going to be in this book today. We're going to have to look in a little bit in Acts chapter 17. But first of all, 1 Thessalonians is probably Paul's first letter, his first epistle. So in a sense, this is the start of the New Testament, at least according to Paul. And it was written probably around 50-51 AD as he was on his second missionary journey. He kept expanding his ministry, kept going around to new places. And the Lord had called him to Macedonia through his Macedonian call. And so we see that he obeyed that. And so he was going around the Aegean Sea. He had gone to Philippi, then Thessalonica, then down to Athens and Corinth. And so this is really part of Greece, Macedonia and Achaia, part of northern and southern Greece, what we look at today. Well, Thessalonica was a wealthy city. Its old name was Therma. And it was a Greek colony, really in the heart of the Roman Empire. In fact, some people think it was the chief city of Macedonia. Well, Paul wrote it, obviously, during the dispensation of grace. And the rapture is mentioned, we believe, in every chapter in here, waiting for our Lord. And looking at the rapture gives us a purifying walk with the Lord. It has a purifying effect on us as we're working while we wait for the Lord. Well, really, the background information is in Acts chapter 17, because we're going to look at Paul, Silvanus, or Silas, and Timothy, and when we start 1 Thessalonians, but it tells us the background information and what these men had to do in order to get to Thessalonica and what was going on there. So I'm going to flip on over to Acts chapter 17. Verse 1, Acts 17, 1, it says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, a couple towns between Philippi and Thessalonica, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews." And verse 2 says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbaths reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." So this is what Paul's method was doing. The Lord said, go to the Jews first and to the Gentiles. And so that was his method. And that's how the Lord accomplished this in history, going to the Jews first in the synagogues and trying to reach them. And then after that presentation of Jesus the Messiah to them, he would expand that to the non-Jews in the city, or in this case, the Greeks, as the Gentiles were referenced then in the Greco-Roman Empire here, in this as part of the world. And so he is reasoning with them out of the Scriptures, out of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. In fact, verse 3 says, opening and alleging that Christ, as Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he was showing who the Messiah was, because the Jews were waiting for the Messiah to set up the kingdom. Well, the Messiah came, so now he's telling about who he was and why Jesus qualifies to be the Messiah. Verse 3 again, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, that's that he died for our sins, and risen again from the dead. That's the third day, that's the resurrection. So Christ, and here's the gospel. It's neat that Paul, we think, well, the gospel sometimes gets neglected, or we're looking at all these other doctrines in there, but you can't get anywhere without the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that he died for our sins, he was buried, third day he rose again for our justification, and then he was seen by people as well. So we know that he's alive, and he rose, and he ascended, and he went to heaven, and he's our intercessor now for those who believe in him. And so that Jesus and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Remember, they had to call his name Jesus. It means Savior. And Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah, the chosen one of God. So Jesus Christ is God's chosen Savior for mankind. God's chosen Savior for the world. And he's the only one that can save us, because he's the only one that had a sinless life who shed his blood for us. Verse 5 says, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. They joined them. So here's the second man on his team, Paul and Silas. There's two that are mentioned in Thessalonians. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So here's what he's saying. Well, some Jews believed, and those who are devout Greeks, those perhaps that were in a synagogue and who were trying to find out about salvation and how Israel was light to the nations, and they had the Hebrew scriptures, and they're trying to learn about the God, what we call now the God of the Old Testament, who's the same God of the New Testament. But the devout Greeks, people who were learning from the Jews, and a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. In other words, quite a few women, quite a few women, and prominent women there in their society. Some people say there might be more women in heaven than men. Well, why is that? Well, if you look at the churches today, sometimes there's more women than men. It shouldn't be that way, but yet, where are all the men? Maybe the men can humble themselves and look to Jesus Christ as Savior as well. Verse 5 goes on to say, and again, we're back in Acts chapter 17, Acts 17, verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, they rejected the Messiah, rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy. Envious because that's they're not following the Jewish tradition or Judaism. They didn't want to follow the Bible. They didn't want to believe Paul's gospel message, Paul and Silas. And so they gathered, it says, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort. And so they took the hoodlums around, people to gather a crowd together and maybe have a mob-like mentality and just want to stir up problems and trouble. And gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar. Well, Paul wasn't setting the city in uproar. It was these other people. Paul was preaching good news and how you can be saved and washed and cleansed from your sins. But they didn't like that, so they were trying to push him out. In fact, they did. And assaulted the house of Jason. Jason was probably a man that was hosting Paul and helping Paul, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." They've turned the world upside down. How did they do that? Well, because when people receive Christ as Savior, their hearts are changed. They become a new person in Jesus Christ. They're clean and forgiven. They want other people to know that. And so they also tell other people this good news, the same gospel. Christ died for us, he's buried, and he rose again. And by trusting in that, you can be forgiven and cleansed from your sin. And so people were hungry for the Lord. They were hungry. They understood their guilt before God. And so people's hearts were changed, and they were changed. And then that led to their actions being changed. And so they had made a great impact in the Greco-Roman era of that time. And so they had turned the world upside down. We have to ask ourselves, are we turning anybody's world upside down in the sense that we're letting them know about the good news of Christ? And whether they receive it or not, reject it, that's up to that person. That's between God and that person. And so they thought, well, those people that's with this, they've come here also. Here they are, and we don't want them. We don't like them. Let's get them out. Verse 7, whom Jason hath received, Jason's in cahoots with him too, these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Well, we do know that Jesus is a king. In fact, he said that he was born a king. He had to be born in the line of David so that he can rule and reign over David's throne in Jerusalem forever. Well, he's eligible to do that. He's the one that will do that, the Bible says, yet in the future. But he's not ruling and reigning there now. Now, what's he doing? He's calling people out to himself. Because if Jesus Christ, since he's God in the flesh, God manifest in the flesh, the Bible says, and he's going to rule and reign upon this earth, only those who are, because he is holy, only those who are holy can be in his sight, in his presence. Those sinful, wicked people can't tolerate being with him. In fact, a better way of saying it is he can't tolerate the sinfulness. He has to deal with that. He has to avenge that. And so it makes sense that he would have to cleanse someone's sin prior to setting up his kingdom, so that he would have subjects to be in his kingdom. So it's one, it is true that Jesus is a king and Caesar was a king. Jesus is alive. Caesar died. So there's one difference there. Well, they both died, but one rose from the grave. But yet, it's not true that he was there to take over the government. God's the one that instituted governments. There's no perfect government, and oftentimes they go astray, but yet the people were trying to do in Thessalonica was saying, look, let's just get some power and authority on our side to push these guys out of town, so let's just say that they're rebel rousers, they're going against our leaders. Verse 8 says, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Other people heard it, and well, they're stirred up too, when they should have been looking at the gospel. So now somebody got them distracted, got them disturbed and riled up. Verse 9 says, and when they had taken security of Jason, maybe arrested him and maybe put him in jail, and of the other, they let them go. They let the other people go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And so here we see Paul. Again, this is in Acts chapter 17. We're in verse 10. Because remember, we're looking at the background of Thessalonians. And this is the background on how Paul got there. And so here he was in Thessalonica, and he got kicked out. He got kicked out. He was also in jail in Philippi before he came to Thessalonica, but now he had a really rough time in Thessalonica. He got kicked out. They sent Paul and Silas away by night. So here he comes to Berea, and you would think Paul would say, oh, you know what, Lord, I just need a break. I need a furlough. This is too much tension for me. This is too much problem. It's not worth it. Look, can I just go home for a while? What's going on? I just don't want any more problems. No, he fulfills his duties. He shows his love for people by going right into the synagogue of Berea to tell the Jews about Jesus Christ. He wants people to be in heaven. He wants people to have their sins forgiven. He wants people to receive Jesus as their Messiah, as their Christ, as their Savior. So he goes into the synagogue, as his habit was, as what he was doing, the Jews, because that's where they met. That's where they met. Verse 11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. So I think at first it's talking about the unbelievers. The unbelievers in Thessalonica stirred things up and run Paul out of town. Although some of them did believe and a little church was started. But in Berea, it was different. Maybe more the unbelievers, they didn't just get envy and get mad and start a mob to run and then go crying to the government officials for this matter to get Paul and Silas out of town. But the ones in Berea said, you know what? We're going to receive the word. And this is where it all starts, even for you and for me. We have to believe the Bible is true. We have to receive the words of God. That's what believing is. Believing is just receiving. Faith, the little children's song says, faith is just believing what God says is true. God's word are true. So this is how they received the word of God, with all readiness of mind. They were willing and ready to accept God's word for what it said. They understood it and they believed it. It was true. And not only that, they searched the scriptures daily. You know, they were looking down through the Bible and through their scrolls to say, okay, here's another verse about the Messiah. You're right. Jesus Christ, Jesus from Nazareth, fits that. He fulfills that. It's of him. It's really true. He must be the Messiah. We receive him as our Messiah, as our Savior. Remember, Jesus means Savior. Messiah would be the anointed one. Jesus is our Savior, our anointed one. So they search the scriptures every day. We have to ask ourselves, am I reading the Bible every day? Is it that important to me that I read it every day? Yeah, I check my email every day. I check my text messages every day. If a phone rings, I'm right on it. I Google stuff to find out what it means. But yet, how important is the Bible to us that we're willing to read it and to pray to God about it? Well, we can be like the Bereans and search the scriptures and receive God's word. That was a very great thing they did. One interesting thing is about the church in Berea is that there's no letter written to them in the New Testament. Corinth had lots of problems, and Paul wrote two long letters to them. You know, Thessalonica, you know, had some questions, and they needed some comfort. So Paul writes a letter to them. And so some other ones, they're not even mentioned in the seven letters later on in Revelation. Of course, they're in a different location. But just the point is that there's really no church or no letter to the church in Berea, but yet this must have been one really fine church. And so 12 says, verse 12, therefore many of them believed. See, because of their connection to the word, because they received the word of God, therefore they got saved, therefore they got their sins forgiven, therefore they came to Christ. Therefore, because they received the word of God and they searched the scriptures and they understood what it said, they believed. Therefore, many of them believed also of the honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, and not a few. So there's quite a few people in Berea that believe, particularly of the Gentiles. You know, and then that's where we see most of these places, there's a few Jews, but predominantly it's more the Gentiles. Of course, they were outnumbered in population usually, but God took the gospel to the Jews first in that order and then to the Greeks. But obviously, it's for everybody. It's for all of us. It's for all of us today. And Acts chapter 17, verse 13 goes on to say, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Kicking Paul and Silas out of town in Thessalonica wasn't enough. They had to come also to, they went clear to the next town. They went out of their way to give him problems. Of course, Paul's familiar with that. That's what he was doing in Damascus. That's when he got saved. You know, he was going from Jerusalem up to Damascus to persecute the church, those who believed in Jesus, and he got saved along the way on the road to Damascus. And maybe in God's grace, some of those that came to him from Thessalonica did the same. Maybe they got there and thought, what are we doing? How wicked and evil can we be? Is this Jesus Christ really somebody that we must go after and go after his followers, his disciples? And so maybe in God's grace, some of them got saved too that came there. But not all of them, because here it says that they stirred up the people there also in Berea. So here it goes again, verse 14. And then immediately the brethren there in Berea sent away Paul to go. Notice that it does call them brethren. Like, they're saved. They're believers. But anyway, they sent Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy, abode there still. So here's the three men that 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 starts out with. Again, we're just doing the background information of that today. But Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And so these three men were ministering together. And of course, we know that Paul wrote some to Timothy in a couple books, and we see these men traveling together and ministering together. And so Paul went on. It looks like Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him, with all speed they departed. So Paul was in Athens, and he was waiting there. He was looking around the city, and he engages some of the men there and the people there in that city. But the others stayed on a little bit longer up in Berea. And so maybe even they went back to Thessalonica. We don't know. But Paul really didn't see those in Thessalonica until some years later. Even though he wanted to, he really didn't get back around to them right away. So I guess what we could think today here is that, are we more like the Bereans or not? Are we receiving God's word? Do we know God's word? Are we spending time in God's word? Do we have a quiet time daily? Maybe do we have a Bible reading plan or a schedule or a regular time that we read every day? That Bible reading and prayer is so important. One of the most important things that you can do growing as a Christian, growing as a believer in this life. That's it for today for the background and for Thessalonians, and we'll see you next time in the first chapter of Thessalonians. And thanks for listening.